Jesus. Oh.
Amen.
What a wonderful shot.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Lowly, meek and mild. New life.
Glory.
New hope.
Hallelujah.
To all he brings.
Yes, sir.
Listen.
Yes, sir.
To the angels sing.
Glory.
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 To the newborn.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, sir.
I come to you this morning giving all honor and all praise to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Reverend McMillan, Reverend Riley, my lovely wife, my beautiful, beautiful church family. It's an honor, it's a privilege, and as always, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Speak, Lord, for there's someone in need of a word.
Yes.
Speak, Lord, for until you come, there is absolutely nothing to say. Mm-hmm. Speak, Lord, for we await your intervention, Lord. We await you, Lord, to break in and in the midst of all that's said and done today, but to speak a word to us individually. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Dove. Take control, Lord. Take control right now, Lord. The pulpit to the pew. Have your way, Lord. You know what it is that we need. Speak a word, Lord. We call on you. We count on you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I feel pretty good. That one of my favorite songs of all time. I want to say a word to you today that God has had on my heart. I thought it was supposed to have been preached last Sunday, but he saw different by bringing the snow in.
Yes.
Then he left me with a prepared sermon from last week to study this week, and I thought I was going to have an easy week. It didn't turn out that way. Every time I would go back to go over what I had prepared, it would grow a pain. So I spent the last part of the week I started out with 5 pages that I had, and by the end of the week I had 16 pages. So I spent the last of the week trying to bring it back to find out what God wanted me to say, and y'all can be pleased that I did. He convinced it. But I want to just speak to you briefly from the book of Isaiah, which was the Sunday school lesson last week, chapter 9 of Isaiah. And I want to just read a couple of verses out of that chapter. I want you to go back and read Isaiah 9, 1 through 7 at a minimum. But I want to just highlight 2 verses coming from that particular chapter. That would be verse 4 and verse 6. Verse 4 reads thusly, For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. And then if you skip down to the sixth verse, says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And I want to just give you for a thought today, a title with a colon and a question. Before the colon is great faith. Great faith and a colon. And then a question follows. What do you really want for Christmas? What do you really want for Christmas? And you can make really all caps. What do you really want for Christmas? This is the third Sunday of Advent, which has been raised earlier. And we have been studying this for this will be the fourth week, because we introduced this with Christ the King Day. Mm-hmm. So we're on the fourth week of this. And hopefully we're gaining, as we go along, a better understanding of what this season is all about. And in fact, I hope that during this season, as we go on, it causes us to have a behavior modification, if you will, that during this season, when we learn all of the things that this season should bring to the forefront, that we suddenly feel an urge to do something, change something about how we are living, change our approach to something, but to make some kind of behavior modification. Even if it's just to say, I'm going to try harder than I did last year. When we look at Advent, season is usually represented by a wreath. Advent wreath is what they call it. And it usually has five candles in it. And the four candles are, people have different versions of what they think the four candles stand for, but all agree that the candle in the center represents Christ. So during each Sunday of the Advent season, we'll focus on one of the four virtues that Jesus brings. The United Methodist says it's hope and love and joy and peace. There's some others. It says that the candles, the first one is the prophet's candle, and it symbolizes hope. The Bethlehem candle symbolizes faith. The shepherd's candle symbolizes joy. The angel's candle symbolizes peace. So it's different variations of a theme you'll see throughout all of the various religions. Some will use faithfulness as one of the four. So they replace peace with faithfulness, and they say faithfulness and hope, joy, and love. You got others that just put faith in to replace hope. You know, faith, prepare, joy, and love. But the Christ candle is the one that's in the center, and it's usually lit on Christmas Day, and it represents Jesus as the light of the world, and all seem to agree with that. And although the order and the exact wording varies among churches, the wreath continually reminds us of whom we serve,
yes.
Who we are as ambassadors of Christ. If I try to summarize this season, start with a definition, the season itself. What is a season? A season, just a period of time. This is the Advent season, we call it. And so it's just a period of time. The word itself says that it's the arrival of a notable person or thing or event. So perhaps we could think today that we thought last week or 2 weeks ago that we said perhaps we could think of this as a time to come together as Christians like never before. And today, we look at this season of Advent as the type of thing or event. If we could just think of a time when I can express great faith, not your usual faith, but a great faith, a faith that goes beyond your normal thinking, a faith that will let you ask the question, what is it that I really want for Christmas? Perhaps it's a relationship problem somewhere. Your child may have gone astray or not going where you think they ought to be going. Something might be going on where you've pretty much thrown your hands up and said that, I guess that's just how it is. But this is the Advent season, and maybe something of great faith. Because we serve a God that can do anything. We know that because we say it all the time. We say it. Tell each other, tell everybody else, but so we're talking this day about great faith. Think about what is it that you really want for Christmas. Advent. The word itself just simply means coming. Advent is a time leading up to Christmas that is to be spent preparing our hearts for the celebration of Jesus coming. Oh, great faith that God's going to break in and work a miracle in my life because I believe it. Not because the preacher said it, because of what I've learned, but because I'm expressing great faith. I'm really looking at this thing like I should have been looking at it all the time, that God's not bound by me and how I can see things and how I can do things. God is not bound by my restraints. Great faith that I don't see how God could do it. Mm-hmm. Well, if you could see it, you ought to just go on and do it yourself.
That's right.
Great faith. If God can come in. Great faith. You see, it's great faith. It's not about how much biblical knowledge you have. It's not about how much scripture you can memorize or recite. It's simply knowing how good God is.
Yes, yes.
He's good because of who he is. Mm-hmm. And how great God is. Mm-hmm. Because of what he can do. And Jesus. He can do anything. Is that right?
Yes.
I want you to just take your time this morning and ponder that thought. What is it that I really want God to do this Christmas? And God responds to faith. If you can believe it, then you can receive it. But if you can't believe it, don't think God's going to just come to. He said, I respond to faith. Do you believe that I can do it? What is it that you really want? Hallelujah. The season, Advent season. Then a definition for the word reason. A reason is a cause or explanation or justification for an action or event. That would be Jesus. Jesus is an explanation for all that we could hope for, all that we could wish for. Jesus is the reason. So if you took Advent and tried to tie it together with all of the different words that the different parts that different churches have put in, it will go something like this: a season and a reason for love. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It could go a season and a reason for hope. Romans 15:13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. I might be going through something. I might be having issues in my life, but because of the hope that I have in him, I can find joy and peace right in the midst of the storm. If I can believe, great faith. A season and a reason for peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, he will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him.
Yes.
Trials and tribulation, the songwriter. I've been buked and I've been scorned, but if I keep my mind stayed on him with great faith, that the God I serve can do anything, that there's nothing too great for my God. If I can keep my mind stayed on him through the storm, then I can find peace in the midst of it all. A season and a reason for joy.
Joy
goes greater than happiness. It's not like happy, that's dependent. But joy is something that when everything else might be pressing on me, I can still find joy. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace And joy in the Holy Spirit.
Joy.
Joy. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me.
Yes.
I get joy when I think about how he's going to bring me out. And even when it doesn't look good, it looks like I might not come out of this. I don't see my way out, but I can get joy when I know that God has something on the other side. He didn't bring me this far to leave. A season and a reason for faith. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen.
Yes.
It gives us assurance about things we cannot see.
Oh, yes.
Faith, the substance of things hoped for. If you had it, you wouldn't have to hope for it. When you hope for it, you say, what do I really want God to do for me? Let me look carefully at what it is, because I want to look at it. I want to make sure that I eliminate those things that I can do myself. What do I want God to do for me? Some things I just need to get up and go and do.
All right. That's true.
But then there are some things that no matter how hard I try and no matter what I go through with my mental capacities, I can't do. So what is it that I really want God to do for me? Somebody might say that great faith you're talking about, preacher. I wish God would increase my faith. Don't be shy. If that's what you need. Because you can't exercise great faith if you don't have great faith.
Come on.
So you might have to start from square one and say, Lord, increase my faith. Look at me, Lord. I'm a pitiful little thing. I wish that I could believe what I profess. I wish that I had enough faith to believe that you can climb this mountain that I'm facing. I tell everybody else, I know you can. I tell everybody else, he can move a mountain. If he don't move it, then he will tunnel through. But when it comes my time, what do you really want for Christmas? The scripture today will concentrate on hope.
Yes.
What do you really want for Christmas? The noble response which church folk will give you. The most noble response is that, Reverend Matt, I just want to be one with Jesus.
All right.
I just want to be, Reverend Riley, just in him and he in me. I just want to do God's will. That's the noble response. But what is it that you really want God to do for you this Christmas? What is it in your life that is about to roll you over, it's to knock you down, it's holding you down? What is it that's going on in your life that you really need to let God in? In the first 12 chapters of Isaiah tell us about Isaiah's purpose in writing this book and his calling to be a prophet. And although this scripture predicts the eventual fall of Jerusalem, the arm of the Lord will protect Judah from the Assyrians, and the Assyrians who will destroy Israel and later itself.
Uh-huh.
Isaiah looks beyond all of these things to the coming of Christ and his glorious kingdom. In other words, church, in the end, we're going to win. I don't know about you, but that sure make me feel. In the end, we're going to win. No matter what it looks like, if you keep your focus, in the end, we're going to win. No matter what it looks like, when you look up to your leadership now and what's all around you, and you don't know, but in the end, we're going to win. In this 9th chapter by Isaiah, the prophet offers not only hope, but more importantly, he offers us the source of hope. Not just the provision, but also the provider. He will not only make a way, he is the way. So when we view this scripture from a 2018 perspective, a large part of the prophecy has already been fulfilled.
That's right.
Most agree that the purpose of this scripture is to show how God shines his glorious light into darkness. God promises found in Isaiah 9, 1 through 7 show us hope even in our darkest and most devastating situations. See, last week's Sunday school lesson pointed out to us that, see, just because we're Christian, we're not immune from situation and circumstances that are greater than our capabilities. But we serve a God that's greater than anything we could face. Ain't that a confident thought? He's the source of our confident light, one who we can depend on. And he's the hope of a coming light. What do you really want God to do for you? You see, when you think about that question, what you ask for, or better than what you ask for,
all right,
what you really expect.
Yes.
Let me just stay there for a minute. Because it's no use you saying, hoping that God will, unless you expect that he can. You know what we do most of the time? We'll hope and pray for God to do something. And before you get up off your knees, you're trying to figure out why it's not going to work out, because this ain't that, and this is not that, and this is not that. And we try to figure it all out and how it's going to work out and all of that, because we sometimes think that God needs our help.
Yes, we do.
It does make you chuckle. It's a smile of me. So who do I think that I am? Great faith, trusting that God can and that God will. Who is he? He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you just to go down with me. Who he is. For unto us a child is born. The purpose of Christ's coming was for us.
Yes.
Unto us a son is given. Jesus didn't just happen. God planned it from eternity. Jesus is the Son of God. And the government will rest upon his shoulder. Jesus will reign as King of the world. The government of the entire world is on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful. Can you say Jesus Oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus. In the midst of your trials and your tribulations, can you call him Jesus? And his name will be called Counselor. Midnight hour when you need somebody to talk to.
Well,
when you looked around and everybody that loves you, they want to be there for you, but you don't have anybody. But in the midnight hour, somebody that you can call on, Counselor. His name will be called.
Yes.
A mighty God.
Yes.
He is God Almighty. In him dwells all the fullness of the deity in bodily form. He is God all by himself.
Yes, he is.
Don't need nobody else. And his name will be called Everlasting Father. Father of eternity. And his name will be called the Prince of Peace. He will keep you in perfect peace. But what can this God do? This one we call Wonderful and Counselor, what is it that he can do? In that fourth verse, it says, "For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian." And what they talk about in that particular verse comes from Judges chapter 6. Just go read that for a minute. I'm almost done. Judges 6, 5 and 6 says, "For they came with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and the camels were without number." The Israelites found themselves outnumbered. The Midianites had just come. The Midianites wouldn't just come at any time. The Midianites would wait until the Israelites gathered, grew all their crops, and got everything nice and growing, and then the Midianites would come in and take it all. And you couldn't do anything because they were outnumbered, grasshoppers as multitude. They were the camels they had, they were all without numbers, and there was one there that could pray. There was one there that could express great faith. His name was Gideon.
Yes.
My Bible tells me that Gideon, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he blew his trumpet, and when he blew his trumpet, he was able to gather 32,000 people to fight with him. I just want to show you about my God now.
Yes.
What my God can do. He gathered 32,000 people, but the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many." He said, if I give you victory now, you'll think it was you. He said, what I want you to do is to go out and tell them that anybody that's afraid for their life, anybody that has any fear, you tell them they can go on back home now.
Yes.
And when he did, 22,000 got their head.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Come on,
Nick.
And there remained 10,000. And you know what the Lord had to say about that? The people are yet too many. He said, bring them down upon the water and I will try them there for you.
Yes.
Let me just read this. He said, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall that thou set by himself.
Yes.
Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to the mouth, were 300 men.
300?
And the Lord said, that's enough.
That's all you need.
That's enough.
Send those other 97. I'm going to just tell you
what my God
can do.
Yes.
He said, put a trumpet in every man's hand. Didn't say a bow or a sword. He said, put a trumpet in every man's hand with an empty pitcher and a lamp.
Yes.
Don't that look silly? A trumpet, an empty pitcher, and a lamp.
Yeah.
With 300 men, and they were facing a number so great that you couldn't count. I'm just telling you what my God can do with great faith. If you can believe what God can do. The three companies blew their trumpets and break their pitchers and held up their lamps. And all of that noise on all those sides confused the Midianites. And they started turning on each other and running. And with 300 people, trumpets, a pitcher, trumpet, pitcher. Break the pitcher. Blow the trumpet. Raise the lamp. What God can do. So whatever you are going through, no matter what it looked like, no matter what God arms you with, no matter what God tells you to say or do, if you can believe, if you have great faith, then God can bring it to fruition. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. What is it that you want for Christmas? 1 John 3:22 says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. And this is the confidence or great faith that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he will do it. What is it that you really want for Christmas? What is it that you really want for Christmas? You don't have to make up your mind while you're sitting here. Carry the thought home with you. What is it that I really want God to do? And what is it that I can believe that he can do?
All right.
Because if I get with God and I pray to God and I make sure me and God are on the same page, that might mean you might let him turn your pages. Instead of you trying to show them that part that you like, you let God turn the pages. And when you and God get on the same page, you ask God for what you want. And I guarantee you, you're going to come. Great faith great faith? What is it that you really want this Christmas? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are. Thank you, Lord, for being there even when I have left and gone the other way. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful when I become faithless. Thank you, Lord, for listening. And thank you, Lord, for hearing my every call.
Yes, sir, God.
And Lord, I ask right now for you just to look inside of me, and if there's anything that blocks a perfect worship of you, I ask now that you move it, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And increase my faith. Increase my faith, Lord, that I can believe truly, really, that you can do anything. We pray right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.